Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. From Hollywood, this is C.P. McGregor, bringing you warmest season's greetings and wishing you joy at Christmas time. Christmas is both a time for happiness and for reflection, the one time in the year when most humanity lets down its hair and turns in mutual gladness and goodwill to its neighbors and wonders to itself why the spirit of happiness is not a daily blessing. And so, as our offering to the miracle of Christmas, and in the hope that it may continue throughout the year, we prepared this special Christmas program. You'll hear your favorite Christmas carols sung by the beautiful voices of the Tucson Boys Choir under the direction of Eduardo Casso, the solo voice of Jerry Beach, and the story of Jonathan Banks, the Little Burro, as told by Elliot Lewis. It's a program I know you'll enjoy. Before we begin, however, let's listen to this message. Now, let's begin the first half of our very special Christmas program. Today, in this season of all seasons, we're going to tell you the greatest story ever told. One as majestically moving as the universe, and yet as beautifully simple as a shaft of sunlight on new-fallen snow. And our star will be that of Bethlehem. In words and music, we're going to relate the chronicle of 2,000 years ago, when a kindly father gave to the world of men his only begotten beloved son, to light a pathway throughout the world of darkness and ignorance with the white, shining light of truth and love and faith. There have been moments when the flames of that torch have dimmed and flickered in the hearts of men. But in this holy season, celebrating the divine miracle of the Nazarene, let us be prayerfully and humbly joyful that once again, because of his benevolence, peace and goodwill are the birthrights of the children of God. Let us pause in reflection, cleanse our hearts and souls of all things not fitting onto his sight, and let us raise our voices onto the green hills, and let the valleys echo the mighty song of praise and gladness, Adesta Fidelis. O come, all ye faithful. Of the wondrous account of the Nativity, of the humble birth of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, St. Luke began by saying, "And it came to pass." Five simple words to describe the most glorious and awe-inspiring event since the beginning of the world. And on that night of all nights, while the shepherds tended their flocks in the hills of Judea, there appeared in the heavens a great luminous star, casting its dazzling light round and about them, until, as Luke said, they were sore afraid. That star, that radiant, resplendent light that hung low in the heavens over the hills of Judea, became the divine light of a wondrous living truth. And it is the same beautiful guiding star which we today still follow, as did the lowly shepherds and wise men on that holy night. Long may the world And thus Jesus the Christ was born unto mankind. Jesus, the child of Nazareth, the young carpenter, the devoted, loving master, teacher, and healer, the savior of all generations and generations to come, that man might rise out from and beyond his mortal clay to find life everlasting in his Father's house. And there was in the heavens a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." And the joyful tidings resounded from heaven to earth, from valley to hill, from streamlet to mighty oceans. Alleluia! Alleluia! The first half of our special Christmas program. Part two follows immediately in just 60 seconds. And now we continue with our story of Christmas, with the telling of the tale of Jonathan Banks, the little burro. There are many stories and fables told at Christmas time, stories that warm the heart with the deep glowing cheer of the Yuletide. But here's a story that's never been told, at least not that I know about. It's a story of a patient little donkey, a direct descendant, if you please, of another little donkey, one most venerated and held in highest esteem throughout all donkeydom. One who stood 2,000 years ago, very patient and very donkey-like, head drooped before the door of a lowly stable in the city of David, which is Bethlehem. Here now is the story, as told by Elliot Lewis, of Jonathan Banks, the little burro.
Story of Jonathan Banks. Jonathan Banks was a little burro. Yes, a burro with four legs, of which two of the hinder ones could lash out with phenomenal alacrity at the unwary or incautious stand-by. Jonathan Banks possessed two long, floppy ears which whooped around their restricted circuit with all the unguided direction of the hands of a broken grandfather's clock. Jonathan Banks had a mousy, moth-devoured, ragged and tattered coat, like that of a beggar's on Skid Row, a haven of hospitality for sage ticks, sand flies, and their pestiferous ilk. Jonathan Banks was a prospector's burro. His lord and master had been originally named Ezekiel Bundy, but had been secondarily Nick Christian, plain Zeke, by the Pan and Sluice Box miners. However, this story doesn't concern Zeke as it does Jonathan Banks, the prospector's burro. Now, Jonathan Banks was the usual, typical trait burro, his nether heels quick to strike the unsuspecting, his yellowed teeth just as quick to snatch an embarrassing patch from a careless man's pants. A fly-swatter tail lazily swishing in the shimmering heat of a desert sun. An irascible, stubborn mind, solidly grounded in the ancient burro philosophy of passive resistance. Now, Jonathan Banks had never gone to Harvard or to Yale, but Jonathan Banks was a wise burro. Yes, mighty wise in the ways of narrow mountain trails, wise in the ways of the yucca plant and the poisonous stab of the Spanish bayonet. Jonathan Banks knew the smell of wet beneath alkali. He knew the fallacy of near-seeming mountains and the falsehood of rippling lakes that teased and vanished in the purpling haze of endless waste of sand, of barren rock and lifeless spoil. Jonathan Banks knew the venomous whir of the diamondback, the slithering death of the vicious sandwinder. With drooping head, Jonathan Banks had listened many times to the quivering falsetto and yabble of the coyote in his sobbing song to the yellow moon. Jonathan Banks had experienced sand in his eyes from the dry storms that had brewed from Devil's Thatch on the Great Plateau. Jonathan Banks, in his incalculable years, had many times seen the stupid prance of men when gold was struck, had heard the maniacal laughter as the glittering stuff stabbed bright and cold from a miner's pan, and he had flopped his ears and switched his worn tail for what was gold. Jonathan Banks had heard the roar of gunplay and smelled the sharp, acrid odor of cordite and burnt powder. And Jonathan Banks had seen blood and sweat and death. And he had seen thick, swollen tongues of men black and cracked in the insatiable lust for gold. He had seen eyes cavernous and lackluster in the pitiless sun of a great and painted desert. One day, old Zeke, the prospector, piled pans and picks, shovel and salt, flour and bacon and blanket, water bags and guns and cartridges on the sturdy back of Jonathan Banks. For old Zeke was going prospecting. Into the silence and blaze of the desert, old Zeke was going looking for gold. The ravines were cold on that starry night. The silent reach of the desert strand was endless. Its silhouette shapes were still and dead. Skeletons of yucca and Joshua, the bony frames of mesquite and broom sage. Old Zeke walked ahead. Jonathan Banks followed. Then suddenly in the east, a star fell. A fiery meteor slashing a broad streak of light across the glittering heavens. Jonathan Banks stopped. His flop ears pointed forward in an attitude of listening. Old Zeke tugged on the woven hackamore. Old Zeke cussed and swore the air blew and kicked old Jonathan Banks on his tattered stern. But Jonathan Banks was a burro, and Jonathan Banks didn't move. Those huge flop ears had heard something, which in his burro's dim remembrance was the echo of another sound, one heard before by a venerable ancestor. What was the sound? Old Zeke pondered the reasons of this stubborn little burro. Old Zeke was a prospector. Old Zeke didn't know what day it was. Old Zeke had no calendar. Perhaps Jonathan Banks, the little burro, with his tattered, moth-eaten ears leaning forward, could hear the singing of a mighty host of angels. Perhaps Jonathan Banks remembered another day, nearly 2,000 years ago, when another of his kith and kin, a little burro, mousy and tattered, had stood patiently, burro-like, before a lowly manger in a town of Bethlehem. Perhaps Jonathan Banks knew in his soul, if little burros have souls, that this was the night of another star which had proclaimed to the world of men and burros peace on earth goodwill toward all men. And Jonathan Banks hung his head, as burros do, and dreamed a while, and flopped his ears, and switched his tail. And then the silence of the painted desert was broken by a mighty, raucous braying. This finished, his jubilation ended. Jonathan Banks, the little burro, with a flop of his ears and an extra switch of his tail, succumbed to the kicks on his tattered stern and the ungentle yank at his halter. And Jonathan Banks, the little burro, plodded his way once more toward the streams of unfound gold.
Whenever we see the portrait of the Blessed Virgin, the Holy Mother of Christ, the soft sweetness of her smile, the gentle compassion in her eyes, we think of our own mothers. For she, Mary of Nazareth, is a composite of all mothers everywhere. Let us turn upon our mothers now, eyes that are filled with love and adoration. For that day so long ago in Bethlehem was truly the very first Mother's Day. And so our stories are told, our songs are done. But please, let the echo of the songs and the words live in our hearts throughout the coming year. Let us find on the Christmas tree gifts of love and peace, and above all else, an abiding faith in the future, a tolerant understanding of the past, and the joy of the present. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. This is C.P. McGregor speaking. God grant you the merriest of Christmases and the happiest of all New Year's.